Hey, everybody. My name is Kirk. I'm joined by Vince for another show of Uncomfortable. And today we're once again going to be talking about transition, whether it be your personal life, ministry, or work. Vince, last week we talked a lot about being prepared to be, you know, where you're walking into your next season. We kind of wrapped up talking about how we need to be where God desires us to be. You know, we need to really be intentional about placing ourselves in that place. But I think what we really need to do is really dig deep into what does that look like? What really is the key to getting in to the place where God desires us?
Well, you know, we mentioned a few different things that kind of were a mixture between preparing for a business change or ministry change. And we even touched a little bit on some things that are both personal and business and ministry related. But one of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk about that, and this is a hard one for my own self. So I don't know about you, Kirk, but it just pains me to say it. I feel like I'm cussing to say this. We have to stay patient and trust God's timing.
Ouch.
Yeah, that one hurts.
You know, the whole word patience, especially in the church, and I don't know why, especially in the church, but the reality is this is patience itself. My brother, it's almost as if people are cussing at you.
Well, you know, the funny part is in the Bible, the word patience in some of the older versions says long suffering.
Oh, man. Now you're really getting there.
Suffer long. It's more than just waiting in line and being patient in line. It's like, why are they going so slow? It's long. It's bigger than that. It's long suffering means that you're capable of enduring through it with an attitude that's not like, would you just hurry up?
Oh, yeah.
And you know that you can't do anything because you're stuck in line. I mean, one of the, so there's two aspects to that I just said that I kind of want to touch on, and you can pick whichever one you want to dig into. One, and I'll say them both first. One, there's, you got to embrace the waiting season, still trusting in the Lord, which, you know, we call that faith, right? And the second one is you got to know that God is preparing you just as much as he is preparing the new season for you. So that means that he's actually preparing you to go into the new season. And that's why you're in the season you're in, just as much as he's preparing that season for you to come.
Well, I love what you're saying. And I hate to say it this way because sometimes people can misunderstand it, but I love to say that God loves to, you know, exploit whatever situation you're in. And that sounds bad to say it that way.
Yeah, but it's not. I get it.
But it's reality. God is a wise businessman. He's a very shrewd businessman. And what I mean by saying that is a good businessman will take any investment and he'll make the best out of it.
Now, make it better.
He may not cause you to go through certain situations or seasons of your life, Vince. People that, for example, some of the situations your family went through, those family members made certain choices that led out to their outcome, especially certain ones. Now, the repercussions of their decisions caused you and the rest of your family to go through certain things. However, God said, you know what? I see what Vince went through. And I'm going to use it so that I can compound the interest. I'm not going to take a loss here. I'm going to use this so that I can build Vince up and his family up in a way to where they will be such a turn on profit, to where that they will be compounded within the interest that I put in them, to where they'll be a great investment for my kingdom. So that when others go through these situations, that they'll already have the knowledge, the insight, the wisdom on how to go through it, so that they can be a positive light to a dying world. And a lot of times we fail to realize those things because we're in the thick of it. You know, Bill Johnson says that he believes that when we praise God through the hell on earth that we go through sometimes, whether it's sickness, the sickness or pain of a loved one that's going through cancer or death, that when we praise God in spite of those painful moments, that it's like it's a special fragrant anointing that goes up to the heavens, to the throne room of God. And the reason he says that, he goes, none of heaven understands how we as humans can praise God in the midst of suffering, through the midst of pain and heartache. Because in heaven, there is no heartache, there is no pain, and there is no suffering. So angels don't even understand the concept. So for them, they don't even understand when you're going through those things, how do you praise through those things? Now, I know there's a little reading into that. I know that. But the reality is, if there's no suffering, pain, and heartache in heaven, and yet we're doing it in the midst of it, there possibly could be something to that. So I believe if we begin to incorporate a culture of praise, no matter what the situation is that we're going through, we empower the Holy Spirit to begin to work on our behalf in a new way, to invest in the pressure. What do I mean by that? Well, let's take a lump of coal to be your example, right? If you take a lump of coal and you subject it to extreme pressure and intense heat, what do you get? A diamond. So God takes the coal in our life, right? Those things that we're going through pressure on, the heat and the uncomfortable moments of our life, and he allows the pressure, not because he hates us, but because he wants to take the coal in our life and turn it into a precious diamond, so that we can shine for him to all the earth. But the only way that that can happen is if we go through some things. Another thing is we can use the same example that Jesus talked about, is use, you know, how dross is pulled off of gold, right? Silver and gold. That, how does that happen? Through the fire. Fire is not pleasant. There's nothing pleasant about you going through a fire. It burns, it melts, you know, it completely changes the molecular structure, you know, because of, you know, the heating and cooling process, right? It goes from a liquid to a solid, right? So maybe it's not, I guess I'm getting a little bit in the weeds on the scientific side of it, because it's not really molecular structure. Yeah. It's more of, whatever.
The physical state.
The physical state. And, but the reality is in the midst of all of that, God uses those changing moments to filter out the junk in our lives. So in these moments of transition in our life, whether it be personal, work, or ministry, we've got to understand that God's using these moments of our life to expose areas where we need to sweep the house clean, and we need to make fresh surrender to him in his presence. Now, as we begin to move into these things, we need to understand the spiritual implications of these changes, right? Well, how do we do that? We need to begin to pray. Invite Holy Spirit to become a co-partner with us. The Word says that Holy Spirit is our teacher and that he's our comforter. So that as we're going through these transitions, he can comfort us and he can instruct us on the ways that we need to go. But sometimes we've got to die to ourselves so that we can hear his voice as he speaks to us. And that's the hardest part. Because I don't know about you, Vince, but sometimes I know what's best for me, even when Holy Spirit's trying to tell me what to do.
Oh, no, I'm never guilty of that.
You're never guilty of that? Well, I'm just, no, I guess you're doing a whole lot better.
Not I.
But I'm just saying, I mean, there's moments where we think.
If you believe that.
Yeah, I mean, there's moments where we think we're Mr. Big Stuff, right? And we're like, yeah, Lord, I got it down. I'm good. It's all good. And the Holy Spirit's like, if you would just listen, son, and humble yourself, then I could lift you up. You know, and
guilty is charged.
We've got to navigate our lives in a way that honors God and his sovereignty.
Yeah.
Because,
there's something that you had said earlier, and I wanted to touch back on it, is you're talking about the pressure that creates diamonds. And one of the things I've said in my class to the students a couple weeks ago was those adversities that we go through, are that is that pressure that helps to create those diamonds or that treasure, because most
That's
of
right.
your gems and diamonds and all that, they have to undergo a pressure and heating process. It's not just diamonds, it's rubies and sapphires and
That's
emeralds,
exactly
and
right.
all these things are, are buried under pressure and all that stuff. And if that is part of the treasure that God's wanting to build in you, is that stuff, then that means that you have to go back to the whole thing about, I believe it was Matthew. It said that the man found a treasure in the field, went back, sold everything he had, and went and bought the field
Oh, yeah.
and dug up the treasure, right? So then these adversities and challenges and trials that you go through in all of that stuff is about not only growing these treasures, but also it's like getting a treasure map to find a treasure and then going through the different. I think about, like, the old movies where they find a treasure map and they had to go through all these different obstacles and stuff
Oh,
like
yeah.
that to find the treasure. Yeah, that's kind of like between those three, the adversities, the challenges and trials, that stuff is like that. Like, you find this treasure, or you hear about where this treasure is, and you find this treasure map, and now you got to overcome all these obstacles to get to that treasure. And then when you get there, you got to dig it up. It's not good enough that you survived, and usually there's an antagonist in there where you got to duck and dodge somebody also
Oh,
looking
yeah.
for it. So you got to dig with one eye over your shoulder for them to come in and get you. So there's always something that's coming at you. There's always something that's gonna try and stop you, something that's gonna try to prevent you from seeking out this treasure that God has in your life. And we can't allow ourselves to just be sidetracked and be sidelined by these things, because if we let it, it will sideline us in a permanent way that we could just be sitting there still in church, still doing, doing something in quotations for the Lord, and we're of no good to the kingdom in any way. Just because you go and sit in a pew in church doesn't mean you're doing something for the kingdom. Just means you're warming a seat.
You mean I can't just be a pew warmer?
No,
I
no,
can't
no.
just warm that seat up.
And that doesn't mean that, listen, I'm not gonna to say that means that you have to be doing something in the church itself. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you should be doing something in the kingdom. And I draw that distinction on purpose, because if God has called you to be in a business, to start a business, to be a CEO, or be something else in that secular work, He's called you there for a purpose and a reason. And you need to do that purpose and reason, because then you are functioning in the kingdom. So it's not about what you're doing in a church building or in a specific congregation. It's about what you're doing in the kingdom of heaven. And
Amen.
is that, and is that congregation that you are a part of understand that, and is also empowering you and building you up to function in what God's called you to do.
I think your point there is critical. I remember my wife found a YouTube video a while back, and it was a video about people standing before the throne room of God. And one person was like, "Lord," because they're giving an account of their life. "Yeah, I was a preacher, blah, blah, blah." And then the Lord's like, "Well, you were not called to be a preacher. You're supposed to have been a businessman. And as a businessman, you would have done X, Y, Z, which would have led to millions saved." And he's like, "Whoa." And the next person goes, "Yeah, I was a businessman." This, and the Lord's like, "You weren't supposed to be a businessman. You were supposed to have been a preacher, and you would have led millions in crusades." And then the next person's, and it goes down the list. And the very last person, it was a woman. She's bawling her eyes out. She's like, "But Lord," she goes, "I was so unsuccessful." She goes, "All I was a stay-at-home mom, but I felt like that's what you had called me to do. But I felt like I failed." And the Lord was like, "Daughter, you did exactly what I told you to do. You raised up your sons. Your sons grew up to be men of God. They went out and won thousands for Christ. You did well done. Well done, my daughter." And it was like the key there was not, anything except for find where God has you to be. Even as unglamorous as it may seem. But we have to be where we are stationed. Because here's the reality. When we were called into the kingdom, we were called to be ambassadors to the King of Kings. First of all, our citizenship is not to the nation where we live. It is to Christ. We are first citizens of heaven. And after that, we live in the world around us. But our first thing is a citizen of heaven. So we, first of all, we represent heaven everywhere we go. We're supposed to carry ourselves that way. And as an ambassador, we do what we're assigned. We're not solopreneurs. We're on assignment. We're more like a soldier, right? So we need to, as we move into these points of transition, we need to pray for guidance and wisdom. It doesn't mean we have to have all the answers filled out, you know, in color, like crayon, you know, like sometimes people need when you're given instructions, you need to color code it in crayon form. You know what I mean? but sometimes
we make fun of me.
Well, I'm just saying sometimes we feel like we need it that way. But the reality is we don't have to have all the answers. Sometimes we need to seek support from our local community church, our pastor, yeah. our mentor. You may be a pastor and you may need to go to your mentor or to your pastor and ask him to pray with you, to guide and direct you in this transition that you're going through. You know, when you try to take these things on alone, that's when you set yourself up for failure. Paul told us about how the body is, the body of Christ is more like the members of a physical body, right? Some are hands, some are feet, some right. of them are eyes, some of them are tongues. And as that, we all have to function together as a unit. Well, the reason we were given that illustration is because Jesus doesn't want us to feel like we're a one-stop shop. I don't need no one's help, blah, blah, blah. You know, Jesus wanted you to know that we need him, number one, and we need each other, number two.
Yeah.
Because if we try to be so arrogant and prideful to think that we don't need anyone else, then we've already stumbled into sin. Pride, the word says, comes before a fall. And so we need to recognize that we need the giftings that God has given to others to help us fulfill our call, to fulfill the Great Commission, and to do what he's asked us to do. Right?
Yeah, you know, something you said that really hit me. It hit me pretty hard was when you were talking about the illustration with the stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. that she's like, I just did this, and this. And there's been a lot of years lately where I've been like, God, but I've just done this, and this. And it's not really been of any consequence to anybody or anything. And so when you said that, man, that hit me hard because I get it. And I know several of you out there that listen to this might be in that same spot here and there too, where you're like, man, I feel like what I'm doing is, you know, nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything fancy or anything seen, but, and I'm talking to myself as I say this, but if that's what God's called you to do, that's what God's called you to do. And that's what you got to do until he says otherwise, because you're making an impact some way, somehow. And whether you see it or not here on the planet, you'll see it in heaven. One day.
It could be you're going to go through a situation at work and people are going to see the way you reflect Christ mm-hmm. in the situation, and it's going to be a testimony to him in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because you don't react like everyone else would react through that situation. So we've got to make sure that we prayerfully chase these transition points, right?
Right, right.
We've got to make sure that we're seeking the support of our community, our pastors, our leaders. And guess what? Embrace the unknown.
Yeah.
That's hard sometimes.
It's really hard, especially when you're heading into something that looks different than what you've done. I think of, like, let's go back to the example of the stay-at-home mom. What happens when, you know, she's raised her kids, she's done the stay-at-home thing, they're all 18, graduated and are heading off to college, let's just say,
oh yeah,
whether they're at home or not. And now that mom's going, well, now what do I do? And God's already been giving her ideas and talking to her about what the next step's going to look like. And maybe he wants her to go out in the workforce. Maybe he wants her to go start a ministry or start a business or work at a ministry somewhere. And she's going, yeah, but God, I don't have the qualifications. I've just been at home. I don't have any skills. And that's not true at all. During those 18, 20, 25 years that she might have been doing that, God was building things in her
there you go.
That couldn't have been built any other way. The job that you do when you get up and go every day, it might seem like it's the same thing over and over and over again. But there's something God's building in you. And like Kirk said, in the process, you're being an example. But he's also building something in you so that way if he says, okay, let's go do this and it's ready to pop off, you can jump in there and you're like, well, oh, that's just this, this, and this. And other people are like, that's not possible. There's no way he can do that. There's no way he knows how to do this. Or people just don't pay attention to you because they think you're just in a lowly position. And God's like, no, no, they're the one. How many people from the Bible that would be considered lowly have been made to serve in a huge position in certain times?
Oh, yeah.
In hard times and hard things. I mean, Joshua, David, Moses. I mean,
Matthew, the tax collector. I mean, come on. He was a tax collector. He was hated by his own people.
And then he ends up being, I mean, he wrote one of the gospels and he ends up being one of Jesus's people. So there's, it's never, and I know I talk to myself. I know Kirk, this is for you. This is for all of us. It's never what it just seems to be. It's never as plain as it seems to be. There's always more underneath the surface that we don't understand that God's doing and building in us, in our lives, and preparing for things. We take these things and we go, well, because there's no outward view of it, there's no outward reaping of the harvest, that means nothing's happening. But the truth of the matter is there's a spiritual harvest that gets reaped that is so big and so great. You're like, well, all I do is pray. It's all I can do. Well, that's the best thing to do. But your prayers may have saved someone's life. Your prayers may have, God may have used you in your prayer time to prevent an accident that killed somebody. It you never know what it was or what it was that you were praying for if you're just following Jesus and doing what he says to do. So there is no low position. I mean, it's not about high and low in the kingdom.
There you go.
So I will say this on our the last thing I think it's important for us to do as we're walking through a transition. And that's to make sure that, you know, we, I don't know about you, Kirk, but when you're about to step into something new, it gets scary sometimes.
Oh, it does. That's normally when I know it's God is it freaks me out.
And so when God opens the door, I mean, you got to walk through the door. I mean, does that?
Oh, yeah.
God's like, here, open a door. There it is. Walk through. It's like, God.
You know, we were talking about, we got to embrace the unknown.
Yeah. But
in the middle of embracing the unknown, we have to focus on our calling.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it's easy to get afraid.
Yeah. I mean, what is your purpose? Are you staying connected to your purpose during these times of transition? Are you staying connected to the presence of the Lord? Are you staying in his word and in his presence? Are you asking him for guidance, or are you just kind of going with the flow? You know, I heard a great businessman once ask the question to somebody, are you just expecting things just to happen? Or are you just floating through life?
Ooh.
And the reality is if we are just floating through life, expecting things to just happen, just to work out, we've already set ourselves up for failure. It doesn't mean that we have to micromanage and plan every detail of our day. But it does mean that we should be meditating on the things that are to come, considering the outcome, considering what may or may not happen, praying for the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction, allow him to dream through us as we pray, and then trust him.
Yeah, I think that's a key because You get to that door and you got to walk through it. And we've talked, I've used this statement before when I started doing that class a few years ago, that I did it scared. I was terrified every week. I was scared. Thought every week nobody would show up. Every week that I had said something wrong or did something wrong, and God was like, "That's it, you're done." And so I did it every week scared. But I knew that God was with me through the whole thing. I knew it. I can't necessarily explain it in any attempt. I just knew he was there. I knew he was with me. I knew he was walking me through everything. I yielded everything to him and let him change it if he
There you
wanted
go.
to. And let him alter the route if he wanted to. Whatever he wanted to do, I was down for. But it all goes back to that. You got to step through. You got to make that decision to walk it out. And in doing so, before you step through that door, you got to count the cost. You got to know
Amen.
it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. It's going to cost you resources. It's going to cost it. God's asking your life of you. Will you walk this way? You've made me the Lord of your life. Then will you follow me
That's right. And
in the
sometimes it's
next door?
uncomfortable.
Very. That's where we came to the name of this.
That's exactly right. And as you focus on your calling and you are embracing the unknown, you have to make sure that you're staying true to the calling, the connection, the purpose that he has made you for, right? Because if we allow ourselves to get so twisted and so distracted by the situations around us, by the uncomfortable position that we're in, or by the uncomfortable unknown, then we could miss where he's trying to direct us. And I think many times what happens is as we try to seek out where he's trying to direct us in these moments of transition, we so freak out about it that we almost shut down and don't let him speak to us. Even though he's whispering, it's like we're not listening. It's like we're like the little kid with our fingers in the ears going, "I don't want to really hear this, la 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 la," right? But the reality is he's like, "Son, daughter, I have only the best interest out there for you. I need you to yield to the purpose that I have for you, even in the unknown. Don't fear the unknown. Let me lead you into it. Let me guide you. Consider the cost, just like Vince said, but trust me in the process." Guys, I think some of you may be going through a season of transition in your life. And right now, Vince and I just pray that God's with you, that he guides you, that he directs you. We bind fear and anxiety off of you right now in the name of Jesus. We just declare grace and favor over your life. We ask the Lord right now in Jesus' name just to be with our listeners that are going through transition, whether it be in their ministry, in their work. We ask you, Father God, to give a peace on their life, grace and wisdom as they seek you. We ask you, Father God, to give them a close network that they can work with, pastors, church leaders, mentors that they can pour their life into, well, can be poured into their life, Father God, and also that can encourage them. We ask you, Father, that they won't allow fear to overwhelm them. And we ask you, Father God, that they will focus on the things that you are guiding them to, so that they won't allow themselves to be distracted, but instead that they finally tune their ear, like that old school FM radio, where they're just focusing it in very tightly, where they get that crystal clear channel as you speak, Lord. In Jesus' name. Well, guys, we would love to hear from you. We would love for you to send us a message, go to uncomfortable, excuse me, go to mooseministries.org/contact and let us know, what you'd like to talk to us about. We would love to hear show ideas, prayer requests. We just really would love to hear from you. We really are praying for you. If you would like to support us, you can also go to the Moose Ministries page there as well. You can also reach us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. Guys, God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
See y'all next time.